for your gentle reminders to us. Thank you for your gentle reminders, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just that atmosphere of worship for a few moments before we get into the Word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wrote an article in Sunday Handout about the goodness of God, and we're going to be ministered on that next Sunday. I was just not released to minister today, so be expecting and come this week about, and we're going to be learning about the goodness of God and what it is. And one of the things the Lord has spoken to me for 2019 is that we're going to see God, the goodness of God, in a big way. So we're going to be talking about that next week and what that means. 2019, he told me, he said, you're going to see my goodness in a big way. Hallelujah. So today, you know, this time of year, we're going to talk about being encouraged just for a few moments today. I know we've got things we want to do and have some fun. And so I remind all of you all of the gift wrapping, unwrapping time. I want to remind all of you all that you are Christians. Amen. You've never been with us when we played the game. You know what I mean. So remember, you are Christians. Christ-like. Hallelujah. But anyway, this time of year is it's a time of celebration. But for some people, it's a very discouraging time. And a time, there's more suicides this time of year than any time. And so we as Christians have to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So if you are encouraged in this message, you can take it out and give it to somebody else. And so this time of year, we do rejoice because of the season it is that we celebrate the birth of our Savior. And so we're so thankful for that today. But today we're going to be talking about David for just a little bit. And so, you know, not many of us, we've all experienced bad things in life, but not many of us experienced probably a bad day as David had. You know, David was on a trip, and when he returned to his home in Ziklag after a journey, and he discovered the enemies had invaded his homeland and had destroyed and stolen everything that was important to him. And, you know, we know the word that's been said, the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But God says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So the enemy had come to steal, to kill, and to destroy David. And all of his men turned on him. So have you ever been in that place when everything happened to you, then your own family turned on you, the ones that you're supposed to be for you and not against you, no matter how ugly you are and what kind of mess you got into? You know, they're supposed to be there for you, but sometimes they're not. So, but anyway, we can learn from David's response when we face those difficult times in life and those times of discouragements in life. And as David sat among the ruins of Ziklag, he could have allowed bitterness, he could have allowed grief and all those things to conquer him. And at that moment of discouragement and things in our life, we have a choice at that moment whether we're going to allow those things to take us down the wrong road or to rise up and encourage ourselves in the Lord. So at that moment, he could have become bitter and said, you know, God, I've been out to war for you. You've anointed me to be king, and then all of this is happening to me. So he looked around, and he saw nothing but discouraged and downcast people. So, you know, when you're in that position, you're thinking, I can't even encourage myself, so ain't nobody around here going to encourage me. They're in the same shape I'm in. So somebody has to say, okay, now let's get ourselves encouraged here. So David had to encourage him, so he had only one thing to do. And the First Samuel, this is where the story is taken from, chapter 30 tells us that he encouraged himself in the Lord. That he encouraged himself in the Lord. And there was nothing about the circumstance that he seen at that moment and that he was in at that moment was encouraging. So David could not limit his focus to the present circumstance. And so many times when we're in that situation, all the enemy wants us to see is that situation, is that bad thing has happened. And you know, one thing I found out, that everybody goes through things. Everybody loses loved ones. People get a divorce, not getting married, not ever thinking they're going to. You never thought your children would get on drugs, but it happens. Life happens. So what do you do at those times? David began to change his focus. So you've got to look beyond the present circumstances to what is beyond that. And there is hope. Not the world's kind of hope, but the hope that God gives. Amen? So David began to change his focus. And he by the eye of faith, El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And you know, we cannot make God any bigger. But we have to change our focus to see Him as He already is. So we cannot make God any bigger than He already is, because you cannot increase the omnipotence and omnipresence of God. But you can magnify or diminish your perspective of God. And how do you do that? By continuing looking at that circumstance and that situation that has you bogged down. And perspective, church, perspective has everything to do with whether you are encouraged or discouraged. It's your perspective of the situation. And next Sunday, we're going to be talking about the goodness of God. And I think that there is nothing that comes along in our life that we cannot say, you know, the goodness of God is going to work in that situation. I may not know how, but I'm telling you, the goodness of God is going to work in this situation. And that word is for somebody right now. You may find yourself in that place right now, but I'm telling you, ha, 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 ho, ho, yes. The goodness of God is working in that situation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The goodness, I'm telling somebody, the goodness of God is going to work in that situation. I don't care what they're saying around you. The goodness of God is going to work in that situation. Woo. In Psalms 42, David began to talk to himself. And you know, when you're in those situations, you have to talk to yourself. Because if you don't talk to yourself, those so good people around you, those or good-meaning people, I should say, around you are going to talk to you. The enemy's going to talk to you. So you better be talking to yourself. And it needs to be what the Word says. Amen? So David began to talk to his soul, his mind, his will, and his emotion. He began to talk to himself, and he says, why are you cast down, old soul? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Why are you disquieted? Or why have you become quiet in me? And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to shut you down. He wants you to be quiet. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. We need to start talking. And why art thou disquieted within me? Why have you become quiet within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. The term cast down here is very significant, and I shared this a few weeks ago or a few months ago. The term cast down is very significant because we know David as a shepherd boy. We know David as the one that was tending the sheep on the backside of the desert, even though he was called. How many knows you got to start somewhere? He was on the backside of the desert, and he knew all about sheep. He knows their coming and goings and everything. And so David knew that a cast sheep is one that is unable to get back up on his legs. And if the shepherd doesn't find this sheep, and help get it back on its feet, it will die. That is why the enemy wants you to be quiet and to shut you up and to shut you down, because he knows that you will die spiritually. My goodness. My, 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 my. But I got good news. Jesus will leave the flock just to find that one. His eye is on you. So if the shepherd doesn't find it, the sheep will die. So David says his soul is like a cast down sheep. He talks to his soul and he's telling it, you need to get back up. You need to hope in God. You need to offer Him some praise. David began to encourage himself in the Lord. So, you know, David had been on the run, and even though he had been anointed on, had anointing on him to be king, he's still not reigning as king. So he learned how to take back what the enemy had stolen from him. It became a turning point in his life at that moment. And the moment that you get that word on that situation, that's that turning point. Because you got your word from God. And you know what Pastor Laverne has always taught us? When you got something going on, get you a word from God and stand on it. And the moment you get that word from God, you say, whoop, things are about to change in my favor. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 30, it says, and then David prayed. How many knows it's a good thing to pray? Then David said to the priest, bring me the ephod here. And he brought it to David. And so David began to inquire of the Lord. And he said, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. God answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Whew. David asked what he should do, and God gave him the answer on what he should do. So all for the man of God got into agreement with him, and he did not come out of agreement until he heard from God. We quit about that short from our victory, from our breakthrough, because we don't see it happening exactly when we want it to. Somebody said, well, how long should you pray about something? Until it happens. Is that not faith? Nobody keeps you in remembrance of what you're wanting God to do. He keeps your faith alive when you continually pray about something. It keeps you in agreement. Don't break your agreement with the Word, but keep praying until you see it manifested. And when we give up too easily, when we're faced with difficulties sometimes, you know, we just say, well, that's just the way it is. No, that's not the way it is if it's not according to the Word. So they'll be saying, well, that's just the way it is. That's just my life. That's just how my family's always been. And that's just the way it is in Russell County. That's just the way it is in Campbellsville. That's just the way it is in Dare County. You know how it is. It's just the way. Well, no, it's not. Somebody's got to stand up in every generation and say, enough is enough. It stops here. It stops here. Hallelujah. So, again, the Word says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything, not just some things, anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Get into agreement with somebody. Find somebody. Get into agreement with this Word. Find somebody that has faith like you, and don't come out of that agreement. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. It tells us in Matthew 18. So in 1 Samuel 30, in chapter 30, verse 9, David and 400 men who were with him pursued and recovered all. And this is the turning point in David's recovery. So David went, David pursued, God gave his word, and then David acted on it. Because we have a part to play too. We have a part to play too. So he could have looked at all the negatives and said, I don't think this plan will work. Everybody's mad at me. I've lost my stronghold, my family, all my men. Everybody's mad, upset. But David didn't do that. He got his word from God and did what God told him to do. And it says, David attacked from twilight until the evening, recovered all the Amalekites had carried away, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons, daughters, spoil, or anything which had taken from them. David recovered all. David recovered all. And I believe that God is raising up some men and women that's going to know their rightful authority and begin to operate in that and begin to take it back. And I believe he's raising up an army of men and women who will learn how to pursue, advance the enemy, and take back everything. The enemy has stolen from you long enough. Amen. The enemy has stolen from you long enough. Long enough. Amen. So David went about encouraging himself. And David, being the psalmist he is, I just want to add what I think took place. And I believe he took his harp and he retreated to a solitary place. This is so good. And he began to sing songs of praise to God. You know, sometimes you got to get off by yourself and just sing. Just sing as loud as you can and drown out any other voices that may want to tell you anything else. And you hear nothing but your praise to God. And he didn't, I don't think he sang a sad, lamenting, moaning song, why me? But I believe he began to sing about the majesty of his God. And I believe he began to sing about the Creator who spoke the worlds into existence. And I believe he sang about the Deliverer who had already given him victory over victory throughout his life, over the lion, over the bear, over the Philistine giant Goliath. And so through praise and worship, David began to change his focus. And that's what happens when we feel like we've lost everything and when they're in a situation and all we can see is the mess at the moment. When you get into that, encouraging yourself in the Lord and begin to sing and to praise God, it will change your perspective. It will change your focus. So the Bible says, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. So maybe he sung Psalms 34. And I think this is one of the songs that David sung. And for 2 years earlier, when God had delivered him from the Philistine of Amalek, can you see David sitting? Just imagine for a moment. Could you see David sitting on the heaps of ashes and ruins of his city, knowing that everything had been taken away from him? And he got on his harp and he began to sing, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble hear of it and be glad." Because I want to stop there and tell you, don't you think the world is not watching you when you get into a situation that where you don't think there's no way out? There's somebody watching you. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Can't you just see David sitting there singing those praises to God in the heaps of the ruins and everything going on around him? What a testimony. And even on the worst day of his life, God is worthy of praise. And I'm sure that's what David was thinking. I may have lost everything, and this may be the worst day of my life, but I choose to change my perspective, my focus, back on the one that's going to bring healing, that's going to bring restoration, and that it's going to bring recovery. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And praise is the language of faith. Praise is the language of faith. So if you want to strengthen your faith, begin to praise God. Magnify means to enlarge, to make bigger in perspective. And so, you know, when we magnify a small object, when we magnify a small object with a magnifying glass, we don't change the reality of that object. It's still an object. And it was like I was talking about a while ago. We don't make the object any bigger. We're observing any bigger, but we change the perception of it. And that's what praise and worship does. That's what praise and worship does. It begins to magnify the goodness of God. It begins to magnify the greatness of God. And then when we begin to see that again, we'll begin to see some things restored to us. Amen. Just a couple more things. I was thought of, you know, about Job, who was facing his own worst day in life. And Elihu, I think that's how pronounced it, had to remind Job that God gives you song in the night. Job, God will give you a song in the night. Amen. He will give you a song in the night. And so I want to encourage you today. I feel like this is all I need to share today. But I want to encourage you that whatever situation you may be facing, you might not be facing anything. You may need this word later on, or you may be able to go out and tell somebody this week, "Listen, I heard somebody talk about encouragement, and I want to tell you what to do to overcome that." So I just want you to stand to your feet this morning as we close out. And I just want to encourage someone today that it's not too late. The enemy may tell you it's too late, but I want to encourage you, it's not too late to sing that song. It's not too late to write that book. It's not too late to dance that dance that you've always wanted to dance. That it's never too late with God, because he's right on time. It's not too late to forgive. Don't let age confine you to who you are and what you can do. Don't let age, which is just a number, to tell you that God will not ask you to do a big job for him. After all, you lived half of your life. You're even thinking about retirement. Don't let that define you and stop you. Age is not a problem with God, so don't let it be with you. Don't let the past discourage you from doing what you know in your heart you're called to do. Because the past is what it is, the past. And as someone said, your future looks a whole lot brighter than your past. Amen. Philippians 4:13 says, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." So be encouraged today. Maybe you can go out and encourage someone else with this message today. Amen. So just lift your hands. I want to encourage you to stay today for the food and the fellowship. It'll be fun. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your presence is in this place today. Thank you for your word of encouragement that you've given us to keep on keeping on. In whatever situation we may find ourselves in at the moment, that you're bigger. And you're telling us it's time to pursue and go and recover all. And with praise, Lord, we honor you today. We exalt you. We magnify you, O Lord. Takes our focus off of those things around us. Puts our focus back on you. We rest in your presence today. We rest in your love today. And I just bless these people that have come today. I speak your blessings over them. I speak that you are the head and not the tail, that you find favor in everything that you do. That the anointing is upon you to pray for the sick and they will recover. The anointing is upon you to give that person that word of encouragement. The anointing is upon you to do mighty exploits for God. You are stronger than you ever thought you could be. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And he only wants the best for you. And everybody said amen and amen. And we just pray for the food today. We just bless it. Thank you for all that have prepared it. I just think God's blessings on you. And thank you for this time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
From her eyes, and for the children around the world without a home, say